Now, listeners and panel, I want you to tune your ear into this sound. It is a bird commonly found in Ireland, but I happened upon a lot of them. Very noisy indeed, too, in Spain recently. Any idea what that is, Aina?
That is the most boring bird ever drives me mad. Never knows when to shut up. I'm not even going to honour it with a name.
Oh, come on. You know what
that's
it is.
That's the pigeon of one. Dump yeah. Something.
Richard,
a graveyard in Tuam, I think it was, in the mid-50s, first showed up. I can actually remember that. Niall will have all the facts, but it is a visitor to Ireland that has loved it here, the collared dove.
It turned up in the 50s in a graveyard.
And also in Glasnevin Cemetery.
So it wasn't always here?
No, not at all. No, it spread. You can document it. It spread right across Europe, arriving in each country as it progressed westward. It is a great coloniser.
You're spot on, Richard, absolutely. So that is the sound of the collared dove, that three-note coup, the United. We get that in the Dawn Chorus every year. It's one of the stars. And it's a relatively recent addition to the Dawn Chorus, as Richard was saying, because up until the 1950s, that species was not present in Ireland. It wasn't present in Western Europe. The collared dove, for millennia, presumably, was confined to parts of Asia, the Middle East, and getting into the Balkan region of Europe. So you'd get them in places like Greece, maybe as far north as Bulgaria. And something happened in Europe after around the Second World War. We don't fully know the mechanisms of this, but a lot of Europe had been destroyed. And it seems that the rebuilding efforts perhaps, and changes in agriculture perhaps that followed that, allowed this species suddenly to explode out of the Balkans and the Middle East and to spread rapidly across Europe under its own steam, but something changed in the environment to allow that to happen. And within about 10 years of that, they had arrived in Ireland. The Glasnevin Cemetery, I think, was where the first recorded breeding was. That was in the 1950s. Within 10 years of that, they were breeding in every county in Ireland, and now it's one of our top 20 most common birds in the Birdwatch Ireland Irish Garden Bird Survey.
And none of you are curious as to why we're playing that sound.
Well, I know you were away recently, showing off your holiday.
I was away in Spain.
Go very exciting places, if
no,
only I heard with a collared dove.
I went somewhere very interesting. I went to the City of Arts and Sciences in Valencia, designed by our old friend who designed the Beckett Bridge. Richard Collins, you know who it is?
Santiago de Calatrava. He designed the whole place there. And it's a beautiful town. It really is lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, and Felix Candela.
The river is gone. It's turned into a park.
Yes, it's a fantastic park.
A great idea to give it to the river and the flooding and make it into a park and put the river somewhere else.
Well, I can tell you, I met lots of Moody Goes Wild listeners when I was there, because I went on a bike tour, and every time we stopped, there were groups of people from Ireland, obviously on the same weekend away that I was on.
Are
Monday night listeners.
Being in the Royal Wee, because
yes.
We weren't with you.
No, you weren't. But they
listeners
were, they
want
were,
to know. It was Derek by himself. He didn't bring
but
us.
They usually ask you, am I with you? They were asking me why you weren't with me.
I'm asking you myself. Why not brought on a splurge to Valencia? The last time I was there was...
Show me your money, eh?
The last time I was there...
Anyway, will you wait a second?
Which was great.
While we were in that park, the collared dove was everywhere. It was the dominant species. Other than the collared dove, all I heard were green parakeets. Nothing else.
Another species that's a recent arrival, and I think a lot of that comes down to the environmental benefits for those species. Both the parakeets and the collared doves do prefer it a bit on the warmer side, and climate change is certainly benefiting them both. And this may have been one of the early signs of climate change in Europe with the spread of the collared dove. We still don't fully know the mechanisms. We do know that when collared doves get into an area, they have a huge advantage over the vast majority of other birds because they have no set breeding season. Because where they originate in sort of the tropical and subtropical parts of the world, especially in the Middle East, that kind of area, collared doves, they will breed at any time of the year if there's enough food for them. And they haven't yet evolved to be seasonal the way that all of our birds that are much more established for much longer time in Europe and in Ireland have been. So if the weather is good enough and they can find ample food, they can breed in any month of the year, which means they can have lots and lots of babies each year and quickly build up rapidly in a population level. And in urban areas, they particularly thrive. And we're seeing this especially in Spain and in Portugal because there's so much spare food there. There are fewer predators.
But these are vegetarian birds. They're not dependent on insects at all.
True.
So unlike other birds that are vegetarian, they force themselves to use insects to feed their young, even though it's not their main source of food. So they're tied to the arrival of the insects when the leaves come on the trees. Whereas the collared dove, and indeed our own pigeons as well, our wood pigeons, they can breed all the year around because they don't depend on that insect spurge. Or at least that's what I was told.
You're absolutely right.
They have to breed frequently because they only produce an egg or two. And
a pigeon's
that's
family.
Not enough to sustain them. If you compare a robin, it produces 15 eggs in the course of a season. season, but these things have to breed over and over again to leave enough young behind that some of them will survive and take the genes on to the next generation. So they have no choice but to keep breeding in the limited way they do. But it's a very good system because there's always danger breeding, and you only lose one chick or two when it fails, whereas you have another crack of the whip, and then another crack of the whip, another. So you're, it's
like Grainne Whale O'Malley when her son was kidnapped by the baddie in Howth, or they sent a ransom note, and she sent a ransom note back saying, "Keep him, we can make more."
I think that advantage that they have for feeding their chicks is a big part of the survival of collared dove and other members of the pigeon and dove family. You can use the words pigeon and dove interchangeably; they're basically the same thing. And that's because, yes, most birds, they have to feed very specific type of food to their chicks, and it's usually very narrow type of food they can give them. So if that runs dry or disappears, the chicks will die. They might have them in the first place. With pigeons and doves, they produce a special milky substance in their throats, but the males and the females make this, and that's what they feed their chicks. And the parents can eat a much wider diet. They're vegetarian indeed, but they could eat scraps of bread on the street, whatever they may find. And no matter what the parents are eating, they can convert that into this milky substance in their throats. So the type of food that's available doesn't have such an impact on the chicks. And you mentioned there about their breeding strategies, Richard, about only laying a couple of eggs. One of the things that collared doves are notorious for as well is that their nests are totally rubbish. They make these very, very flimsy stick nests, and they often collapse.
Don't waste their time.
And that's responsible for one of the most memorable phone calls that I've ever had in Birdwatch Ireland. A good few years ago, there was a person rang us up and said that she had found two round eggs underneath a hedge in her garden and a couple of little sticks around beside them. And she sent in a photograph and was able to say, well, those are collared dove eggs, and they've been out of the nest, and the embryos will be dead now. They're not going to hatch. And she said, oh, I'm so relieved because one of my neighbours told me there might be rat's eggs, and I was terrified I'd get an infestation.
Well, I'm glad you were able to put her mind at ease. Derek, did you eat paella when you were in Valencia?
Yes, and I didn't like it. Valencia is the home of paella, I believe.
And that's because paella is a rice dish, and they grow the rice in Valencia. So if you had taken yourself out of the park and gone off to the paddy fields at this time of the year...
How do you know we didn't?
Well, because you didn't say you only got all the way to the park.
You just said that I eat it. No, I didn't do what you're suggesting, to be honest. I didn't like it, no.
No, but apart
I thought
from
it was very dry, Aina.
I was going to talk about the paddy fields. We'll talk about paella in a while. But the paddy fields are managed to grow the rice, and they're flooded. But at this time of the year, the beginning in January, essentially, because we went in January at one point as well, they were ploughing and doing the paddy fields to start growing the rice again. And in Ireland, when they're ploughing, for though, what they do nowadays, but they're followed by I will go with my father ploughing to the green fields by the sea, and the rooks and the crows and the seagulls will come flocking after me. But over there, they had purple ibises, flocks of them following the plough. And I mean, I'd never seen a purple ibis. To see flocks of them following the plough, like our rooks and crows and gulls that you'd see in a ploughed field in Ireland, was absolutely amazing. So you didn't go to a paddy field and see.
Right.
No, you would have seen really.
I would
a good
have seen
sight.
It. Oh, God, whereas I if lost you go in the I summertime, with you.
Well,
sure,
you didn't ask
you.
Me. And then they make the paella. The proper Valencia paella is made with the food from the paddy fields. So you have frogs' legs, you have snails, you have chicken in it. The one with the seafood in it is a different one.
No, we didn't have the seafood. The one we had rabbit.
Yes, that's traditional. Rabbit,
chicken. Mm-hmm. Escargots, the snails, and a lot of veg, and just I really didn't like it.
Was it that yellowy colour with the saffron? Saffron can be quite an overpowering taste for some people.
I just didn't like
it. But you don't like most things, so I wouldn't worry about that.
I can't imagine. No offence to our Spanish listeners.
No offence to you, Derek. I just can't imagine Derek Mooney eating a snail. I just can't see it.
I had them a lot. But surely you can taste when you eat snails normally is garlic. The garlic sauce. Anyway, enough of that for the moment.